I want to welcome everybody to our first OU JLIC Shir Kali on the Parsha of the semester and of the school year. It's really excited to be back. It's really excited to keep this Shir going. This is a Shir that really was for you and from you. Your student leaders said, even though it's really hard to kind of for me to be tied up once a week at free hour every single week, that if we did it here and if we did it now, that the Shir would be successful. And if you look around the room, the answer is, which is really exciting. So first of all, thank you to our student leaders, our OUJLIC Club women's team. We can chat out for them. Not going to go with their names, but OUJLIC women's team.
Yeah.
And our OUJLIC men's team.
Yeah.
That's right. For pushing for this year to happen and for it being now, I think, in its third year, which is really exciting. Because we're in the third year, so I want to make sure that I want to keep from repeating myself and doing the same shir again and again. So I had a shir that was outlined, it was a shir that we did before, and then today I was like, nope, we got to do a whole different shir, so this was all put together today. And I'm really excited to share it with you, to go through it with you. It's a very important, huge topic in terms, hashkafically, for Judaism as a whole, for history as a whole, for leading toward Geulah as a whole, and specifically for, of course, Parshat Ki Tetzé. And at the same time, I think very practical in a deep way, in a deep level, for our lives as well. Parshat Ki Tetzé opens up with the words, source number one, Ki Tetzé la milchama al oivecha. When you go out to war against your enemy. So what, therefore, is going to be the topic of Parshat Ki Tetzé? Not your question. War. Clearly the topic of the Parsha is war. How the name of the Parsha is Ki Tetzé, going out to war. It's the first few words of the first Pasuk. Is going out to war against your enemy. And we would therefore expect Parshat Ki Tetzé to be singularly focused on the topic of war. But it almost immediately veers in an unexpected direction. Ki Tetzé la milchama alevecha unetano Hashem Elokecha biyadecha v'shavita shivyo. The war is over in the first pasuk. You go out to war and you win. And what's the end of the pasuk? You take a captive. What happens with this captive? V'ra'ita b'shivya eshitifat Torah. It introduces the topic of eshitifat Torah, a very odd and unusual halacha in the Torah, where if an army is going out to battle, and one of the soldiers in that army sees a woman who he's drawn to, and he just can't get over that desire, he can take her and go through a long process, where if at the end of that process he still wants to take her as a wife, he can take her as a wife. That's an unusual way to introduce the topic of war if that's going to be the topic of our parsha. It sort of veers off very quickly to a much more personal issue of an individual struggling with his desires, and the Torah struggling to deal with the desires of the individual. You don't have it on your sheets, but the next topic of the parsha is it goes into what happens if a person has one wife who he loves and one wife who he hates, and he has the first child with the wife who he hates and the second child with the wife who he loves, and he wants to give double portion to the bechor of the wife that he loves. Is he allowed to do that? No. Okay. We certainly seem to have left war behind. Rashi brings this down. What would be the connection between the two? Why are those two things connected to each other? Eish Divat Torah and a loved wife and a hated wife?
Because if he has... Wait, what's the connection of the parsha between the three?
Between those two things. Eish Divat Torah and a loved wife and a hated wife.
He'll bring back the Eish Divat Torah and he might not love her as well.
Not that he might not. It seems to be implying very clearly that if you enter into a relationship that's totally based on lust and not love, that you'll end up with a hated wife, and that's going to be that wife. Which then leads to the third topic in the Parsha, which still has nothing to do with war, which is Ben Sorer Umoreh. What happens if you have a child who is so damaged, a child who's so problematic, that the parents realize that this child is going to be a problem for the Jewish people in such a deep way that they're willing to take him to Beit Din and have him executed? Now, we're told that that never actually happened. This is a theoretical case only. But again, clearly continuously moving away from war. What's the connection, according to Rashi, brings down from Chazal between the second and the third one? Who's going to be that Ben Sorer Umoreh? The child of the hated wife. It all goes back to a broken relationship, a broken connection, to a broken relationship that produces a broken child. The Torah certainly is not endorsing Eishet Tifat Torah. But we've strayed from that first phrase of Ki Tetzé la milchama alecha very quickly. And then if you start going through the Parsha, this Parsha is full of mitzvot. Most of them having nothing to do with war. Every single pasuk, it's one of really like three parshiot in the Torah. Parshat Mishpatim, Parshat Kedoshim, Parshat Kitetze, where every other pasuk, sometimes even within the same pasuk, you just have endless mitzvot that are being listed on and on and on throughout the entirety of the parsha. Very personal mitzvot. Issues of marriage, issues of divorce, issues of rape, issues of commerce, of being just in how you do business with another person, how you keep your camp holy, by making sure that even if you go out to war, it's a focus of the Parsha, it's a parak for the Parsha, that you make sure to take a shovel with you when you go out to war, because even when you're out at war and you have that machaneh out at war, it's got to be kadosh, and when you use the bathroom outside of the camp, you have to cover up afterward with the shovel. These are very personal halachot that don't have to do with war. So is it about war or is it not about war? Now we could say, okay, maybe the beginning pasuk was misleading. One way to understand what a parsha is about is through the opening pasuk, the name of the parsha and the opening pasuk. Another way to understand what a parsha is about is, where is the whole parsha leading to? How does it culminate? What's the crescendo of the parsha? And the last topic of the parsha is as follows, source number 2. A relatively famous paragraph in the Chumash, we read it, it's a mitzvah d'oraita to hear it. Parshat Zachor, Zachorat asher asah lecha Amalek baderech betzidcha Mitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you, and what are we commanded to do here? Wipe out Amalek. What does that sound like? I was going to just go with war to keep with our theme. It sounds like war. We're going out to war against a nation with the intent of wiping them out. So the end of the Parsha does seem to thematically link to the opening of the Parsha. The bookends are talking about war. It's just that everything in the middle doesn't. And so we have this very oddly structured Parsha which we need to understand. And I want to suggest that the key to understanding what that parsha is about, and which will open up doors of really exciting conversations for us to have in the next 40 minutes or so, is the topic of Amalek. Let's take the topic of Amalek. Let's read through the Pesukim inside, source number 2. Zachorat asher asah lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. Baderech, on the path, b'tzeitchem b'Mitzrayim, when you left Egypt. Asher karcha baderech. We'll get into what the word karcha means. There's many different interpretations according to that Rashi brings down. But on the way, they were karcha you on the way. V'yizanev becha kol anechashlim acharecha, v'ata yagif v'yageya v'lo yirei Elokim. And they came and attacked the weak ones who were in the back, and you were weak, and you were tired, and you didn't fear God. V'hayab haniach Hashem Elokecha lecha mikol oyvecha misaviv ba'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha nachala l'rishta. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you rest in Eretz Yisrael, timche et zecher Amalek mitachat Hashemayim al tishkach. Wipe out Amalek, don't forget. Very strong paragraph. There's clearly something very deep here. A deeply rooted issue, a deeply rooted problem that Amalek needs to be uprooted and wiped out in its entirety. Zachor, remember that. That's how it opens up. It ends with Al Tishkach, don't forget. The Torah uses both Lashon, both Lishonot, to make it totally clear that this is something which is somehow imperative. To the point where, again, it becomes a mitzvah d'oraita to hear Parshat Zachor read on the Shabbos before Purim. What's going on? What is Amalek all about? So let's turn to the first time that we face our arch nemesis, Amalek. Anybody know what Parsha is, the Parsha that we first encounter Amalek? Parshat Shalach. Excellent. If you take a look in source number 4, Parshat B'Shalach. B'Shalach itself also is a parsha with a complicated structure. Parshat B'Shalach closes out Yitziat Mitzrayim. It finishes off Yitziat Mitzrayim. And the culmination of Yitziat Mitzrayim, when have we fully left Egypt? When does that end? What happens in Parshat B'Shalach that ends Yitziat Mitzrayim? Louder. Kriyat Yamsuf. Kriyat Yamsuf. Yamsuf Milashon Sof. The end of the Egyptians, the end of that stage. We come to Yam Suf, the waters open up, we walk through, and the waters come crashing down and destroy the Egyptians. And we're told, Psukim that are part of Psukim de Zimmer that are said every morning, source number 4, Vayosha Hashem Vayom Ahu Et Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim, Vayar Yisrael Mitzrayim Etel Sfat Hayam. God saved the Jewish people from the hands of Mitzrayim, and they saw the Mitzrayim wash up dead on the shore. Vayar Yisrael et hayad hagdola asher asa Hashem Mitzrayim. And Yisrael saw the great hand which Hashem sent out against Mitzrayim. Vayiru ha'am et Hashem, and they had yirav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe avdo. And they finally, for whatever reason it took up until now, those are shiurim that we've given many times in the past, that it took up until now, that they reached a full place of emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his servant Moshe. They arrived at that place. And having arrived at that place, they're now able to say Shira. They burst out into a song that's a nevuah. A nevuah that's greater than any nevuah that ever was. Even the nevuah of Yechezkel and Buzia, greater than the greatest nevuah that ever was. A nevuah that culminates with a vision of the end of days itself, with where all of history is heading, a clarity of exactly what we're meant to accomplish in this world. The end of Az Yashir, source number 5, that will be planted on the mountain that's in our inheritance. What's the Mikdash that's being referred to here? Beit HaMikdash. The goal of all of history is to get to Eretz Yisrael, which is the story of Chumash from this point on, is getting to Eretz Yisrael, and the story of Nevi'im Rishonim, through most of Nevi'im Rishonim, is getting to build Beit HaMikdash, and then the unfortunate loss of Bayit Rishon. But the story of getting to Beit HaMikdash. And what's the purpose of getting to Beit HaMikdash? Not just the Zerub HaShev. What's the next Pasuk? It's the end Pasuk. Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed. The goal is to get to a reality where the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is clearly in this world, is clearly present in this world forever. That happens through the building of the Beit HaMikdash, creating a unity between heaven and earth. We're told the Beit HaMikdash is a place where Shemayim Va'aretz kiss. It's the unity of Shemayim Va'aretz. And through a reality of Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael with Beit HaMikdash, we have a reality of Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed forever. That's where we're meant to get to. And that should have been where Parsha B'Shalach ended. We finish Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Kriyat Yamsuf, Az Yashir, we know where we're headed. The end. And we're not even halfway through the Parsha yet. And what's worse is that the second half of the Parsha, everything goes off the rails. 3 days later, we complain that there's no water. And we argue with the Kadosh Baruch Hu about water. He tells Moshe, take a tree and put it in the water, it'll make it sweet. Okay, we dealt with the water issue. Where's the food? We need to eat. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, I'll give you man. But I'll give you man on two conditions. Condition number one is whatever you take today, don't leave over for tomorrow. And so what do they immediately do? Leave over for tomorrow. It's okay, fine. On Friday, I'm going to give you two portions. One for today, Friday, and one for tomorrow for Shabbos, which is where we get Lecha Mishnah from. Whatever you do, don't go out on Shabbos and search for man. And so, of course, what do? We go out on Shabbos and search for man. What's going on? To the point where we then move past that. We go forward from there. Kadosh Baruch Hu is furious. Moshe is furious. And we again complain about the water. The place where Moshe goes when he's told to hit the rock, and he hits the rock. And the water comes flowing out. And that place is called, source number 6, Perek Yizayin Pasuk Zayin. Vayikrashim makom Masa'u Miriva. That place was called Masa'u Miriva. Why? Al Riv Bnei Yisrael. Because Bnei Yisrael fought with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Va'al Nasatam Hashem, and they tested the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Lemor, and they asked perhaps the most painful question in all of Chumash. Perhaps the most painful question in all of Tanakh. Perhaps the most painful question in all of Jewish history. Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu imayim. Is God really amongst us or not? Is God really here? Is God really in this world? Is God really in me? And because of that, somehow, that immediately produces a result of, Rashi brings this down, and it's obvious because the two pasukim are right next to each other. What's the pasuk right after that? Vayavo Amalek. That Amalek is somehow a product of this question of Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu imayim. That's what Amalek is. That's its identity. Somehow it emerges from this pasuk, from this question inside of us. Is God really amongst us or not? That's what Amalek is. And we'll open that up. We'll unpack that. And Parsha B'Shalach ends with the war with Amalek. And the promise that we will fight Amalek for all generations, the last pasuk in that paragraph, Tadzayin Vayomer, Kiyat al Kiska Milchama la Hashem ba Amalek, Midor, Dor, the war with Amalek will be for all generations. Think about B'shalach for a second. I know we're supposed to be in Ketesin. But think about B'shalach for a second. We come out, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyat Yamsuf, Emunan Hashem, Emunan Moshe, Az Yashir, greatest nevuah ever, and we see the goal, Mikdash Hashem, Toliyadecha, Hashem Yilok Olam Vaed. Miriam's like, I want in on this also, and she grabs her tambourine, and they start singing and dancing with the women, and everybody's in on it. And then nosedive. What's happening there? What's going on? So let's try to answer these questions. What is Amalek? What's happening in Mishalach that leads to Amalek? What's happening in Kitetzi that's leading to Amalek? Let's start to unpack these issues. So the first one is, in my mind, if you go back to the to our source, in source number two, Lebriut. Source number two. There are two words that I kind of want to focus on, especially in this paragraph. Zachor et asher asah lecha Amalek baderech, on the way. Why do I want to focus on that word? Because the Torah never wastes words, and then in the next pasuk, you know what it says? Asher karcha baderech. If it would have said it once, that would have been sufficient. It's the Torah, every word counts. The fact that it's emphasizing it a second time tells me that derech is somehow important. The second word is karcha, which we'll come back to later. This concept of derech. Why does it mean that they attack us on the derech? Go for it. When we're at our weakest, why are we at our weakest? So I'm going to draw from Dasi and say it even stronger. The derech is a place that's fraught with danger. Going on a journey is a very dangerous thing, especially you think back in those times. You went through deserts. There were no GPSs. You didn't have Waze, which would tell you when there's going to be a traffic light camera or a speeding camera or a police officer. Right now we look out for the good things, not the bad things, right? But you didn't have Waze in those days? It would be like, here's a really angry group of people who are going to try to attack you when you least expect to take everything you have and then kill you. So please go the other way. Right? They didn't have Waze. They didn't know what was going on. There was no internet. You couldn't check. You couldn't crowdsource. You couldn't Facebook post. There was no way to know. You got on a boat. You didn't know. You didn't know if you were making it to the other side, and your family never knew if you were coming home. The derech is a place which is fraught with danger, and we see that manifest halachically as well. It manifests itself in tfilat haderech. We say a bracha. We have a bracha that's instituted to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make sure that our derech is safe because the derech is fraught with danger. We don't have a tefillat habayit. Over time, we've come up with a nice, pretty birkat habayit. There's no bracha in that. It's a nice thing to have. It's a nice thing to hang in your house. It's a beautiful concept. But we institute a bracha for the derech because that's a place that's inherently fraught with danger. That's what Dasi was saying. Now let's think about it for a minute. Where are the times across Jewish history where we come to battle Amalek? What's the first time? Here in B'shalach. Where's the second time that we come to battle Amalek? Where do we come to into a confrontation with Amalek? It's after Chumash, we're already moving into Nevi'im Rishonim.
It's Shaul.
Excellent. Shaul, the first king of Israel, is commanded to go and wipe out Amalek. Does he wipe out Amalek? No, unsuccessfully. Almost, except for one person. He leaves the king alive. God then tells Shmuel, the Navi, I'm very unhappy with Shaul, and go and have words with him. Shmuel goes and executes King Agag. But because Shaul was unsuccessful in wiping out Amalek, because he hesitated, he lost his kingship in that moment. He begs for forgiveness from Shaul. He begs Shmuel, to pray for him. He grabs onto his coat and pulls, and he rips off the corner of Shmuel's coat. And Shmuel says, just like that corner was ripped off of this coat, so too is your malchut going to be ripped away from you, because you didn't destroy Amalek. So he said King Agag lasted one night. And on that night, according to Chazal, he had a child. Or rather, he had relations with a woman who became pregnant, who eventually had a child. And that child eventually produces Haman Ha'agagi, which means that the next time that we come into conflict with Amalek is Purim. Is Purim. Now let's think about these three instances for a moment. Where are we headed to? Think about Derech. Where are we on the Derech to when Shaul goes to wipe out Amalek? What are we trying to get to? What are we trying to accomplish? Trying to get to what we refer to as Bayit Rishon. On Purim, where are we headed? Bayit Sheni. In Mishalach, where are we headed? What are we going to build in Sefer Shmot? Mishkan. Amalek, based on what you identified as the moments where we battle Amalek, they're always attacking us on the way, and always on the way to the ultimate goal, always on the way to Beit HaMikdash. So much so, and you can take this or leave it, I recommend that you take it because I think it's incredible if you're open to it. There's a wild Gemara, which says as follows. Gemara is in source number 7. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, "My dichtiv." What does it say? What does it mean when it says in Tehillim, "Al titin Hashem ma'avei rasha, zamamo al tafek yaromu sela"? What does that mean? What does this pasuk mean? So he understands it as a conversation between Yaakov and God. Amar Yaakov ivnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov says to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, "Ribono shel olam." What is "Al titin Hashem ma'avei rasha"? Means don't let the desires of the rasha come out. It means that Yaakov said to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, "Al titin le'esav harasha ta'avat libo." Don't let Esav harasha have what his heart desires. What is that? Zimamo al tafek. Don't let this happen, says Yaakov. Zo germamia shel Edom. This is a reference to Germamia shel Edom, which if they go out, they would destroy the entire world. Says Rashi, Germamia is the name of a malchut, which comes from Edom. What does Germamia sound like? Germany. Now, if we were just saying, wow, we can always rewrite history and we can see a word and that's very nice. If you look in the Gra, who lived in the 1700s, 200 years before World War II, before the Holocaust, the Gra explicitly states that Germania shel Edom in the Gemara means Germany. Lived in the 1700s. It's not prophetic, he understood the text. If this is true, and either take it or leave it, if this is true, and recognizing that, as I put down just to clarify in source number 9, that Esav is the father of Amalek. Amalek is one of the children of Esav. So then where is the third time? Where's the third time that we, rather the fourth time that we come out against Amalek? On the way to? By Shishi Bezra Pashim. That's a pretty incredible outline. That's a pretty incredible coincidence. We don't have those. We'll talk about that in a second. That's Amalek. Amalek believes in coincidence. We don't. Amalek attacks us on the Derech. That's their goal. What happened in Parshat Beshalach? In Parshat Beshalach, we left Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, Chazal talk about all over the place and is obvious if you think about it. Yitziat Mitzrayim is when we're birthed as a people. We emerge from the womb of Mitzrayim and become a people. That's how Chazal refer to it. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he came down and took us out, it was like the person takes care of his flock, coming down and going and delivering the baby from within the animal. It's our moment of birth. And at our moment of birth, we have this incredible vision. What's the vision that we have? We have a vision of exactly where we're headed. We have a vision of our destination. The destination is Mikdash Hashem Kanun Yedecha. The destination is Beit HaMikdash. Because the ultimate destination is Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed. That's the destination. The moment of our birth, we're told the goal. That's the way it always should be. If anybody wants to be successful at anything, if anybody is driven toward anything, you never start at your origin point. You always start by thinking, where am I supposed to end up? And then you build from where you are to where you're intending to get to, or you'll never get there. That's what we say every week in Lechadodi. Sof ma'aseh, b'machshavat chila. That which is last in act always needs to be first in thought. The last thing you do is always the intended goal. When we build Beit HaMikdash, because we left Mitzrayim to build Beit HaMikdash and reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Sof ma'aseh v'machshava tchila. That's the goal. We need to know the goal. And at that moment, we are given that vision. We are given that nevuah as a gift. We didn't earn that yet. There's a Mamar Chazal that says that it was the Shifcha on the Yam, the maidservant at the waters, who saw more than even the greatest nevuah that ever was. What's weird about using the word Shifcha? What was she at that moment as she was standing there saying Az Yashir? A nevuah. Say the nevuah on the Yam. Why is she a Shifcha? She's having this incredible vision. Why isn't she a nevuah? And the answer is that, I think Rav Chaim Shmulevitz bring this out, that she was still a shifcha. She hadn't earned raising herself up to be a nevi'ah. The men there also, they hadn't raised themselves up to be on the level of being a navi, of being nevi'im. They were given that for free. They were given that as a gift to understand what's the goal. Now go and earn it. And so that's why Parsha Peshalach is structured the way that it's structured. Parsha Peshalach first shows us what's the goal. That's part one. What's the second half of Parsha Peshalach? Now try to live that. Now understand the difficulty of the journey of history in trying to achieve a clarity of constantly moving forward and trying to achieve and reach that goal. Understand that the entirety of history is the derech to that goal. And that the derech is fraught with danger. And what's the greatest danger on that derech? Amalek. So we understand what Amalek is trying to do. Amalek is the force in the world that's trying to keep us from reaching our intended goal as a Jewish people and reaching and keeping the world from reaching its ultimate destination. That's Amalek's singular purpose in existence. That's what it wants. That's what it lives for. That's what it dies for. That's what Amalek is. What is it that is the greatest threat to us achieving our goal as a Jewish nation? What is the content of Amalek? So let's get into that. What's the content of Amalek? Amalek emerges from this reality of this question of Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu im ayin. Is God really amongst us or not? At that moment we experience the painful reality of doubt, of uncertainty, of safek, which many of the Mefarshim point out that Amalek and safek share the same gematria. That there's the fact that the numerical value of Amalek and safek are equivalent shows somehow that there's a linkage there, and the linkage is that it's part of its essence. Amalek is all about doubt. It's all about questioning. It's all about uncertainty. Who, putting this in parentheses, it's not as clear. Who is kind of the end point of Amalek? Where's the last time, at least in text, that we clearly battle Amalek? Against who? Haman HaAgagi. Against Haman in the Purim story. Take a look at this incredible Gemara in source number 10. The Gemara asks as only Chazal can ask. It's a Chazal question. Haman mina Torah minayin. Where do we see Haman in the Torah? Why is that a ridiculous question? Because he didn't live yet. He didn't exist yet. What do you mean Haman mina Torah minayin? So first of all, Chazal understood that everything has to exist within the Torah. Somehow everything needs to be hinted to, needs to be embedded in the Torah, because the Torah is the source of reality. And so they have the ability to ask and the confidence to ask Haman mina Torah minayin. And look where they trace Haman back to the words Hamin ha'etz. What's the context of that? The context of that is source number 11, going all the way back to Gan Eden. All the way back to Gan Eden. The Nachash comes and Sama manages to trick Chava into taking the fruit. She eats the fruit. She gives them to eat the fruit. Both of them have a tremendous fall. They realize that they're not clothed, and somehow that's disturbing to them now, and it wasn't before. And they go and they run and hide. They go and they run and hide. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then comes down, so to speak. Vayishma et kol Hashem Elokim italich bagan, source number 11. They hear Hashem walking in the Garden of Eden. V'ruach hayom vayit chabe, and they hide. Hadam vishom ibnei Hashem Elokim betocha. They go and hide amongst the trees so that God won't see them. First of all, clearly indicating just how far mankind fell. They're hiding from God in the trees? Were they hoping he's spaced out? Were they hoping that he's only nearsighted? What was, like, what's happening? He wasn't going to see them? Vayikra Hashem Elokim al Ha'adam. He called out to man and he said, Vayomer lo ayeka. What does ayeka mean? Where are you, literally? On a deeper level, and we don't know if we may come back to this, but we don't have to really open this up. It really means, where are you? Where are you? Where's the Adam that I created? Where's the Adam that I know? What happened to you? Ayeka, where have you gone? And Adam responds, Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer et kolcha shamati bagan. I heard your name. I heard you walking in the gan. Va'ira ki irom anochi, and I feared because I'm not wearing clothing. Va'echave, and I ran and hid. Vayomer mi gid lecha ki irom ata. Who told you that you're not clothed? Hamin ha'et asher tzivitika livilteach choymenu tachalta. Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat? Hamin ha'et. Did you eat from that tree? Somehow we're linking the reality of Haman and the reality of Amalek going all the way back to Gan Eden and all the way back to Eitz, to the Chet, Va'etz Hadat Tovara. This is core and essential to the Jewish people and therefore draws its origins all the way back in the creation story and in the first sin that was ever committed. In the first breakdown in the relationship between God and man, Bichlal, forget the Jewish people yet. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns and says, Hamin Ha'etz. What is Hamin Ha'etz? First of all, it's a question. Because what is Amalek all about? Doubt. God says, you brought doubt into the world? Midah keneged midah, I'll relate to you with doubt. Hamin Ha'etz, did you eat from the tree? Does God know the answer? Say it with certainty, not with safek. Does God know the answer? Yes, of course he knows the answer. Hamin ha'etz? God says, fine, you want doubt? I'll give you doubt. Hamin ha'etz, you eat from the tree. And that's what the word hamin is. Hamin is, it's even hard to translate. Hamin ha'etz means you eat from that tree. So hamin is like, did from. That's hamin, did from. It's a reality of question. The word hamin is a reality of safek. It's a reality of question. That's the essence of Haman. If you take out the nikudot, there's no nikudot in the Sefer Torah. There's no punctuation in the Sefer Torah. It's the same exact word. Because Haman is that reality of doubt. And where does that reality of doubt come from? Hamin ha'etz. That we go and we eat from the Eitz Hadat Tovara, which we often translate somewhat misleadingly as the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let's break that down a little bit better. Eitz Hadat Tovara. Mazed da'at. Da'at doesn't just mean knowledge. Da'at means an intimate connectivity between two things. That's why in the beginning of Perek Dalet, after they leave Gan Eden, it says, Vayida ha'adam et chava ishto. That Adam knew Chava, and therefore they give birth to Kayin and Hevel. What does Vayida there mean? They had an intimate connection. They were fully connected. They bonded and became one. That's one expression of Da'at. At its core, it means two things that become one. So what does it mean on a level of knowledge? So you all are sitting in this room, and I'm just talking and talking and talking, and hopefully some of you are hearing some of the things that I'm saying. I can only hope. That's coming in on a level of what's referred to as chokmah. You're hearing it. It's coming in. If it's meaningful to you, if it sticks with you, if you want to integrate it, you'll start to work it through. You'll start to think about it. Understand, lavin davar mitoch tavar, bina, to create a binyan, to create structures within your mind with this information until it fits into your paradigms of reality. Until it reaches dot where you and that information are one and the same. It's part of who you are. It's part of your essence. That's dot. Maza eitz hadat tovara. It's not knowledge of good and evil. One layer of what it means is dot. There's a reality of connectivity between what two things? Tov and ra. Tov and Ra suddenly went from things that were incredibly clearly distinct to being intimately linked, to a reality where Tov and Ra are mixed into each other. There's a ta'arovet of Tov and Ra. There's a mixture of Tov and Ra. And things are no longer clear. I have questions. I'm uncertain. I'm not sure. Is this Tov or is this Ra? It should be clear, but I can't tell. I have doubt. Hamin ha'etz. Did you eat from that tree? Did you bring doubt into the world? Did you bring doubt about a clarity of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is and the goal of what you're here for? Did you bring that into the world? Which links back to the first thing that God says, which is Ayeka. Where's the Adam that I created? Where's that Adam who is clear? Where's that Adam who was a pure reflection of Avodas Hashem? Where has Adam gone? And all of history emerges from this incident in Gan Eden, and the people who are meant to fix what broke are the Jewish people. And therefore, their arch nemesis are what come from Hamina Eitz, which are Amalek. It's that reality of doubt. It's that reality of Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im'ayin. Is God really amongst us or not? Who's the hero of the Purim story? Who ultimately is the source of our, of the destruction of Amalek? Esther. And so, as the Gemara would assumably do, take a look back at source number 10. The Gemara then asks, source number 10, Esther mina Torah minayin. Where do we see Esther in the Torah? Because she too must have a source there. Haman we'll find in the beginning of Torah. That's where everything breaks down. Where are we going to find Esther? All the way at the end of Torah. When we're learning how to wrap up history at the end of Torah. When we're learning how to resolve all of the issues of history at the end of Torah. Where does Esther appear? All the way in Parshat Vayelech. Two parshiot before the end of the Torah, and it's kind of one quick, swift motion. Yitzam Vayelech Hazinu V'zat HaBracha is one swift motion at the end of the Torah. All the way at the end of Parshat Vayelech. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, it's, aside from going up and dying, it's the last thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really tells Moshe. Is he tells him what's going to happen next. We won't go through all the psukim now for lack of time. But he says that the Jewish people will go off the derech. They will make mistakes. They will be unsure and they will do the wrong thing. And at that time, I'm going to get very angry at them. Pasuk Yed Zayin, in source number 13. V'chara pibo, I'm going to get angry at them. Bayomahu v'azavtim v'istarti panai mehem, I'm going to hide my face from them. And all kinds of terrible things will happen to them. V'aya le'chol mitza'u ra'ot rabot v'tzarot. The Amar Bayomahu, and on that day, they will say, the Jewish people will say, Haloki ein Elokai bikirbi mitzauni haro'ta'ila. Is it not because God's not within us that all of these negative things happen to me? What does that sound like? Hayesh Shem Bikabini Yamayin. Now, first of all, at first glance, it seems like it's not that. It seems like it's the opposite of that. Hayesh Shem Bikabini Yamayin is God really amongst us or not? Their answer here is no. I recognize the fact that since God is not with us right now, that's why Ra is happening. That's why there's Hester Panim. But that doesn't seem to be how God understands what they're saying. Because the next pasuk is, Va'anochi hasir asir panai v'yomahu. Al-kol hara'a asher asa. Ki panai Elohim acherim. Then I will doubly hide my face on that day. Why is that the response? Because unfortunately, at the end of days, that's the issue we have to resolve, and that statement by Klal Yisrael at the end of days is the problem. When they say, well, why is all this bad stuff happening? Because God's not within us. It's not even a question anymore. What are they saying as a fact? Ki ein Elokai bikirbi. They've learned that when they don't do what God says, things go bad. But they haven't internalized the fact that God is always within us. And therefore, God then has to doubly hide his face. Anochi aster asir panai. And that reality of complete hester, of complete hiddenness of God's face, that complete hiddenness of a reality of godliness in the world. What does that phrase become the source for? Esther. Esther, whose whole reality is bringing out the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in all of the details. In the moments when he seems least clear. Let's think about Purim for a moment. We could think about Purim. We should think about it all the time. We could talk about it all the time. Those, you know, we probably will talk about it all the time. Right? Purim is everything. But let's talk about Purim for a second. That's what Purim is about. What do we read on Purim? Megillat Esther, which means the scroll of Esther, but deeper than that. Megillah is ligalot, to reveal the Hester, to reveal that which is hidden. You read through the Megillah, God's name doesn't appear once. And you could look at the whole Megillah and say, God had nothing to do with this. It was all, if you, I can explain it with all the geopolitical movement and mistakes that were made and this and that. You could say it like that. Or if you have a clarity of vision, you see that all of Megillat Esther is Kulo HaKadosh Baruch. At the end of days, in a double Hester reality, we won't even see God's name. But do we see God in everything that's happening? Do we recognize that everything is happening B'yad Hashem? That's what Megillat Esther is about. Megillat Esther is coming to combat all of the realities of what Amalek is. All of that sense of doubt, all of that sense of uncertainty, all of that sense of lack of clarity. When you see, you read through the Purim story, that it happens to be that Vashi was killed, and so Esther gets taken in, and then Haman impossibly rises to power. Haman was crazy. Haman was a nobody. Chazal tells us he was Mordechai's barber before he randomly rose to power. He was a nobody. He becomes second to the king and becomes even the one who's really telling the king what to do. But it's okay because Mordechai happened to overhear a conversation that saves the king's life, that gets written down in a book, that happens to get read the night when Haman's coming, so that way Haman goes and has to put him on a horse in order that he can go and feel downtrodden so Esther can rise up and go and bring him and put him on the tree that he was intended to have to hang Mordechai on. You could say coincidence. You could say mikre. We're not going to get a chance to come back to it. Back to that word, karcha baderech. Mikre, you could say happenstance. Coincidence, that's all Amalek. Coincidence. Or do you see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the details? Do you see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in every aspect of life? That's that battle at the end of days. That's that battle against Amalek. At that moment of Kriyat Yamsuf, Vaya'aminu b'Hashem v'Mashiach, they had clear emuna for a moment to understand what true emuna was, to what true emuna is. And the battle of history is between emuna, complete faithfulness in HaKadosh Baruch Hu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and suffic doubt about whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within us or not. Complete clarity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, that he can split seas because there is no nature, there is no, it's all God. Or a question, is it all just nature? Is it all just happenstance? Is it all just randomness? Did it happen to be that a fish grew a fin, which became a leg, which became an arm, which became a purse, monkey, which became a person? So it's happenstance. It all kind of happened. B'mikre. And even if one believes that, do they see God's guiding hand or not? When they recognize that a flower needs a bee to survive, and a bee needs a flower to survive, and that if one developed without the other in perfect synchronicity, neither could have survived. So whether you think it developed or not, coincidence or intentionality, do we see God or not? Is everything happenstance or is it all because of emunah? Let's wrap up. One last thing about Purim. Can't leave it behind. One last thing about Purim. That's what all of Purim is about. That's what all of the mitzvot of... What are the mitzvot of Purim? Throw them out. What are the mitzvot of Purim? Reading Megillah we talked about. What else? Mishloach manot. Giving gifts of food to your friends. What else? Matzah levinim. Giving money to the poor. What else? Having suda. Eating food. We have a minhag to wear masks. So first of all, wearing masks. The whole inyan is to put on a mask and say that this is all the... This is what Megillat Esther is about. We can all put on masks. Behind that, we know what the truth is. And all of the rest of those mitzvot is God overtly involved in any single one of those mitzvot? It's good to give charity. I like to give my friends gifts. I love a great meal. Where's God? Is he there? That depends on you. That depends on me. Hayesh Hashem b'kevein ha'mayim. Do we see God in the details of life or not? That... We always run out of time. We have 5 minutes. We can wrap it up in 5 minutes. Let's get back to Ki Teitze. That is what all of Ki Teitze is about. Ki Teitze la milchama olevecha. When you go to fight your enemy. We're not talking about national wars here. If you actually look at the end of last week's Parsha, Parshat Shoftim, you'll see discussions of how we go out to war as a nation is the conclusion of the Parsha. This is not about national wars. The oivecha here is much more personal. When you go and fight that final fight, not fighting the wars with guns and with, in those times, swords and shields, That's not what we're talking about. When you go and fight the real internal wars. And what's the first internal war that we talk about? That's why it immediately goes there. The internal war of desire. When you go and fight the internal wars of seeing God in the nitty-gritty of everyday life, that's all of Parshat Ki Tetzeh. Interpersonal relationships, marriage, divorce, law leading wishes of rape, putting a fence around your house. What happens, how to do business properly, in an honest way. These are all details of life. Because that's where the greatest war lies. That's Parshat Ki Tetzeh. This is the end of Devarim. We're coming to the end of Chumash, and therefore we're coming to the end of history. The end of Chumash is manifesting, it's hinting to, it's showing us the ways of the end of history. That at the end of history, the greatest war, the final war to be fought is the war of the details of everyday life. Do I see? Am I finally able to answer that fundamental question? Hayesh Hashem Bikirbi Im Ayin. Do I truly believe that God is inside of me? Do I truly believe that God is in this world? Do I see God not just in those big moments? For us, how about we see it at those times also? But do I just see God on Shabbos and on a Chag and when I go and do a mitzvah and I'm shaking lulav and etrog? Is that when I see God? Or do I see God when I'm going there and I am building that fence around my roof to make sure nobody falls? Do I see God when I get an email about how we need to give relief to people whose whole lives were destroyed in Texas? And I give that $18, $36, $185,000. When I give that relief, when I give that tzedakah, do I see an internal value that's separate from God? Or am I doing it because I see godliness in giving tzedakah? These are incredibly practical questions. They're the deepest of questions. Do I see God inside of me? Do I see God inside of the world? That's the final war. That's the final battle. That's all of the battle of Parshat Ki Tetzeh. When you go out, what does Tetzeh, by the way, link back to as well? When you go back to the Derech. Ki Tetzeh, when you go on the Derech to finish off history, and you find Amalek out there, and you find those questions out there, can you overcome them or not? And therefore, the Parsha culminates with that final paragraph. Zachor et asher asalach Amalek. Never remember, constantly remember Amalek. Because if you forget Amalek for a second, you'll fall into doubt. Zachor et asher asalach Amalek. Baderek v'tzichem Mitzrayim. And then it ends with Timchet zecher Amalek mitachat hashamayim lo tishach. Wipe out Amalek from under the heavens. Don't forget. That's the fight of history. That's how history comes to a close. That's how history comes to a close. And if, Bezrat Hashem, we successfully wipe out Amalek, we successfully wipe out that doubt, we successfully fix that which led to Hamin Ha'etz, and look at the Asir Asir Panai of our day and age, a world that's no longer really even a war between different religions, but on a certain level, a war between those who believe and those who don't even believe that there is a God or meaning or structure or a goal. A fight to just claim that there's spirituality at all, that there's meaning at all. We're living a battle against Amalek on every level. When we're finally able to wipe out that Amalek, what's the next parasha? What's it called? Parasha Ki Tavo. Then Ki Tavo al Haaretz. Then we'll finally be able to come to Eretz Yisrael, to rest in Eretz Yisrael, and to live in a reality of Beit HaMikdash, of Mikdashem Kunu Yadecha, Hashem Yunoch Li'olam Va'ed. That's why we'll finish with this, one last source. We'll finish with this Rambam. That the Rambam says, source number 15, the beginning of Hilchos Malachim, the Halachas of Kings, Shalosh mitzvot nitzavu Yisrael b'sha'ach nitzatan la'aretz. There were three mitzvot that were given to Yisrael when they went into Eretz Yisrael. To Bnei Israel when they went to Eretz Yisrael. Limnot la'hamelech, the first is to appoint a king. Sh'nenemar som tasim alecha melech. Because what is that king supposed to do? What was Shaul the first thing supposed to do? What's the goal of the king? Wipe out Amalek. Number two. U'lehachrit zar'o shel Amalek sh'nenemar timche et zecher Amalek. In order to get to what? To build Beit HaMikdash. Shnemar l'shachno tidrashu uvata shama. That's the arc. This parsha is challenging us. It's challenging us to see God in every detail of everything that we do. Some of you are coming to campus for the first time. Some of you are coming back to campus. Life gets crazy. There's a lot to do. There's a lot of things happening in class. There's a lot of things to do for class. When you're out of class, there's a lot of interpersonal drama going on. There's all kinds of things happening during the college years. None of those things overtly scream God. This is an incredibly important turning point in life. As we leave behind our families and move out of the house, or soon to move out of the house, as we leave behind day schools, as we leave behind those who went Israel schools, and we start to enter the world, when we look around in our classes and we hear about the science, and we learn science, and we learn politics, and we learn history, and we learn the social sciences, it's up to you, it's up to me. Do I see God or not? When I'm talking to my friends, and I'm choosing what words I use, and where I'm talking to them, and what I'm doing, do I see God in that or not? Do I choose to eradicate Amalek from the details of my life or not? That's on me. And the moment that I do that, I've succeeded in my whole goal in being here. And I've paved one more step to leading to Mikdash Hashem Kanu Yadecha, to Kitavo El Haaretz. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zocha to remove all doubt from within our hearts, to destroy the internal Amalek on every level of being, see God with clarity in everything that we do, in the quote-unquote spiritual moments or the moments of clarity on the Shabbat, on the Chagim, when we're doing the mitzvot, and in the nitty-gritty of life. And through that, jointly doing that together, be the cause to march to Kitavo El Haaretz, to bring us to Eretz Yisrael and Binan Bayit Shlishi B'mehira B'yameinu Amen.